We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 793. 793 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. Our order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on our question and answer phone, 856-854-4452. Or email bft@biblefortoday.org. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book called Defending the King James Bible. Now in its 8th printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. Why not ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then have you ordered your Defined King James Bible, published for the Bible for Today? Uncommon words in the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe, genuine leather. So it's a 12-point large print, 10-point medium print. Over 45,000 are in print and distributed worldwide. Why not order one for yourself and your friends, the Defined King James Bible? Just simply call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then have you ordered your Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists, free and postpaid on Bible versions? It's a refutation of this book, One Bible Only. We've been talking about it on the broadcast for many weeks. A few more weeks, I'm sure, as well, maybe a few months. These are analysis of statements made in this book that fundamentalists are believing. They're fuzzy facts. They're not true facts from these fundamentalists on Bible versions. It's 108 pages, $12 value, $8 plus shipping, free and postpaid. Write us if you like it at simply 1-800-JOHN-10-9. As a beautiful cover, white and red. All right, we're on fuzzy fact number 206. Fuzzy fact number 206. Kevin Bowder wrote this. He's from Central Baptist Seminary. Quote, instead of demonstrating from Scripture and sound argument the clear location of all the words and only the words of the autographs, they turned the debate into an ad hominem expose of personalities associated with the Alexandrian and Western manuscripts. Into the discussion, they drag the Alexandrian theologian or Origen, any number of the medieval popes, and two textual scholars named B.F. Westcott and F.A. Hort. Conveniently, none of these people are still alive to defend themselves or to clarify their views. End of quote, pages 160 to 161. What's my answer to this fuzzy fact? Well, first of all, we demonstrate sound argument for the location of all the words of the autographs. We believe it's the words that underlie the King James Bible and the Hebrew Masoretic text and the Textus Receptus Greek text. As far as the New Testament is concerned, there's no question about it. That's what we identify. And we do it because of reason, because of fact, but also because of faith. God promised to reserve His words. I believe very clearly He promised to reserve His words. Kevin Bowder and the Central Seminary neither of them believe that God promised to preserve His words. It's in the book, One Bible Only. Nor does Bob Jones University believe that God promised to preserve His words. Oh, His thoughts and ideas, yes, but not His words of Hebrew and Greek. And so because I believe He promised to preserve them, I believe by fact and then by faith He did accomplish what He promised to do, and we have those words. Now he's implying also that Origen was a perverter. He's implying that Origen was a perverter of the traditional text. Origen was a Gnostic heretic who is known to have perverted the words of Scripture. His other church fathers have told these are some of the things that are factual. Kevin Bowder then defended two textual scholars, Westcott and Hort. I believe these two men were heretics. I believe they were apostates. And they have shown this in their the two books at least that we have written, I've written, The Theological Heresies of Westcott and Hort is one, where I take 125 quotations from their books, three books, from Westcott, two books from Hort, and also The Clever Denial by Bishop Westcott of the Bodily Resurrection of Christ. It is not ad hominem to expose the heresies of such men by exact objective quotations. And these men, these heretics and apostates, such as Origen, and he certainly was a heretic, such as Westcott, Bishop Westcott, Professor Hort, and the 1881 when they came out with their false Greek text, if they're heretical in their doctrine, if their beliefs are not scriptural, why trust them to decide what the Greek text of the New Testament should be? The text that they have evolved and that was furthered and continued by the United Bible Society text and by the Nestle-Aulin text, these other critical texts, according to Dr. Jack Mormon, contains 8,000 plus differences from the text that underlies the King James Bible. And I maintain, although some differences are greater than others, I maintain that you can't accept these 8,000 differences. Small or large, they're differences that should be thrown out completely. Well, let's go to Fuzzy Fact number 207. Kevin Bowder again, teacher there at Central Baptist Seminary, he wrote this, quote, "Ironically, the King James-only proponents are not willing to apply the same arguments to Erasmus, the original compiler of the text for Septuagint. Erasmus opposed the Reformation, remaining a faithful Roman Catholic priest until his death. In the writings of the King James-only advocates, however, the Protestants, Westcott and Hort, are condemned for their incipient Catholicism, whereas the Roman Catholic Erasmus is justified because he is of imagined sympathy with the Reformation." End of quote, page 161. What's my answer to this fuzzy fact? Well, Erasmus was not that much of a Roman Catholic. He says he was a faithful Roman Catholic priest until his death. Well, his books were banned. Erasmus' books were banned by the Pope of Rome. Does that indicate he was a faithful Roman Catholic priest? Would the Pope ban the books of a faithful Roman Catholic priest? Just think about it. Certainly he would not. Erasmus also refused a cardinal's hat. The Pope wanted to give him a cardinal's hat, make him a cardinal. He refused it. Does a faithful Roman Catholic priest refuse becoming a cardinal? You just think about that also. Why, most Roman Catholic priests would be jumping up and down if the Pope would appoint them to be a cardinal of the Roman Catholic Church. He refused. And then Erasmus translated the scriptures, put them into the Greek language, printed them in the Greek language, which was not the official language of Rome. Roman Catholics in his day, and up until a few years ago in our day, used only the Latin. They didn't use the Greek. Erasmus was not, and is that the evidence of a faithful Roman Catholic priest to publish something in the Greek language of the New Testament instead of sticking to the Roman Latin Vulgate and the text that was used, the Latin by the man that made it, the Latin that's not the old Latin, but the Latin Vulgate, is that evidence of a faithful Roman Catholic priest? Think about it. And then the statement of Kevin Bowder, false as it may be, said Erasmus was not the original compiler. He says that he was the official compiler of the text of Septuagint. Well, the fact of the matter is he was not the original compiler of the text of Septuagint. This is false. Erasmus did not compile the Textus Receptus that underlies the King James Bible. He printed an edition of the traditional text. Now, he's implying that the Textus Receptus began with Erasmus. That's what he's implying. He says that the original compiler the text for seven. It almost sounds like he invented it, he made it, he started it, he began it, he compiled it originally. My friend, that's a false statement, as false as the day is long. He printed an addition in the Greek language of the traditional text. And to imply that Erasmus began the text Receptus in 1516 A.D., nothing could be further from the truth. He was not the founder or the original compiler of the text Receptus. The text Receptus, and this, of course, this error is made by not only the Central Baptist Seminary in this book, One Bible Only, but the other three of the quartet, the big-time quartet of fundamentalist schools and institutions that deny the text Receptus as the basis of the New Testament. This is also denied by Bob Jones University. It's also denied by not only Central Baptist Seminary, but it's denied by Detroit Baptist Seminary. It's denied by Calvary Baptist Seminary in Lansdale, Pennsylvania. All these things say, all these institutions say that Erasmus was the original founder and the beginner of the text Receptus, when it's absolutely false. The text Receptus, or the traditional text, goes all the way back to Peter and Paul and the other writers of the New Testament. It does not begin or originate with Erasmus. In fact, later on, perhaps they're going to imply that Erasmus was the foundation of our King James Bible, his text, which is another false statement. Though Kevin Bowder didn't make it here, he makes it elsewhere, and it's made elsewhere in this book, and also the Bob Jones University book, One Bible, From the Mind of God to the Mind of Man, saying that the King James Bible was based upon the Textus Receptus of Erasmus, when it was, in fact, it was based upon the text of Beza, 5th edition, 1598, 82 years after Erasmus. So there's all kinds of things that are trying to point to Erasmus as the originator of the text Receptus, Erasmus as the basis of the King James Bible, and then smash Erasmus, saying he was a humanist, saying he was a Roman Catholic, faithful Roman Catholic. Let me ask you this. Would a faithful Roman Catholic priest be buried in a Protestant cemetery? That's where Erasmus is buried. In Basel, Switzerland, I've seen a picture of his tombstone right there in that cemetery. A friend of ours who was brought up and was born in Basel is the one that gave me this picture. He's a missionary statesman, speaking and preaching and standing for the King James Bible to the Korean people. And he's Pastor Koo is his name, and a godly man. All right, let's go on to fuzzy fact number 208. Kevin Bowder wrote this, quote, in the book One Bible Only. What is especially damaging is that the character of the people who handle the manuscripts is not really the issue at all, end of quote, pages 161 and 162 of One Bible Only. What's my answer to this? My friend, the people who handle the manuscript and the manuscripts, that is the issue. The people that handle it, that's the issue. They are the issue. Would you like to put a fox to guard your hen house? Foxes eat hens. They love to feast upon hens, chickens of all kinds. And you don't put a fox to guard that house. Now, Kevin Bowder does not believe it's important that only believers, only ones that know the Word of God and love the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, only believers deal with the words of God. He thinks that the apostates, Westcott and Hort, these heretics, were fit to handle the Scriptures. I don't agree with that at all. As Dr. Lewis Ray Chafer wrote in his book on Satan, quote, if they are not born again, their judgment in spiritual matters is worthless and misleading, end of quote. So it's important to see not only what these men have done as they have altered the Scriptures, the traditional text, the text Receptus, Westcott and Hort I'm talking about, but also what the beliefs are of those who handle the words of God. And what, see, some of the things, you flip a coin. Should I include this word or this word or this form or this spelling? And if it changes doctrine to go ahead and go along with their false doctrine, they will change that word. They want the doctrines to read according to their beliefs. That's why the Gnostics of Egypt, those unbelieving Gnostics of Egypt, altered the traditional text in the first place. Where they couldn't find the scriptures and twist them to agree with their false doctrines, they altered the words of scripture to meet their desires. And the churches finally and formally, in about 500 A.D., rejected this Gnostic text, which B and Aleph, Vatican and Sinai, are representatives, and they threw it away. They refused to copy it again. They refused to use it as scripture. The church fathers and original writers of the early churches did not refer to it in very often, in very many cases, but the vast majority of cases they referred to the Textus Receptus, the traditional text. So that's the source. You've got to have true people handling the words of God. It reminds me of the statement of George Washington just before he crossed the Delaware in order to attack the enemy forces of Great Britain in the Revolutionary War. He is said to have made the statement, "Put only Americans on guard tonight." Only Americans. In other words, full Americans without any sympathies toward the British. Put only Americans on guard tonight. And this is what we need in the scriptures. Only godly men handling and discussing the words of God. Well, problem and fuzzy fact number 209 out of 265. Kevin Bowder again wrote this in the One Bible Only, quote, "They insist," that is, talking about those of us who stand for the Textus Receptus, the King James Bible's base, "they insist that the textual critic who attempts to reconstruct the history of copying of Scripture is guilty of treating the Bible naturalistically." End of quote, page 162 from One Bible Only. What's my answer to this fuzzy fact? Well, that's exactly what these textual critics, Westcott and Hort, have done. And the current ones as well have done. Textual critics, Westcott and Hort, say that the Bible should be treated the same as any other book. Bruce Metzger and the other men in this age in which we live, Herbert Nessel and Kurt Allen, these other critics, have said basically the same thing. Like any other book. Well, this is treating the Bible naturalistically, is it not, if it's treated as any other book? The Bible is not like any other book. The Bible is God's book. That's what we believe. The Bible was given to us by the Holy Spirit of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the source of the words of that book, the New Testament, in John 16, 13, and 14. And by implication also, he's the author of the words of the Old Testament. The Hebrew words, as well as the New Testament Greek words. The Lord Jesus is the teacher. The Holy Spirit took those words and made sure that the writers of Scripture put those words that the Lord Jesus told him to put them down in Scripture. These are God's words. And certainly the naturalistic way is to reject the Spirit of God and His words. Naturalism prevailed in Griesbach, who was an editor of the Greek text, in Tischendorf, in Tregellis, in Westcott and Hort, and other Greek editors of those early days, late 1700s and 1800s. They treated the Bible as any other book, and they are wrong, and they were wrong in doing so. It's not the same as any other book. It's God's book. Well, fuzzy fact number 210 out of 265, Kevin Bowder wrote this, quote, "The fact that every single manuscript of the New Testament differs from every other manuscript is proof that such mistakes did occur." End of quote, page 163 from One Bible Only. What's my answer to this fuzzy fact number 210? Well, if you're talking about the Textus Receptus of the New Testament, we find those manuscripts virtually identical one with the other. It's the fact that every single manuscript differs from every other one. He says that's proof of mistakes and so on. The Westcott and Hort texts and manuscripts, which are less than 1% of the evidence, B and Aleph and about 43 others, they're filled with thousands of critical variations. Not so with Atex Receptus, which is a seamless garment. There are a few spelling differences and others that can be made, but not much is made of that, and not much could be made of that. And furthermore, why is it necessary that every manuscript be exactly spelling for spelling exactly the same as the other? The thing about it is where there are differences that are critical differences in the traditional Textus Receptus, the received Greek text, those differences can be made out and see what they are, and you can see what the true reading is. When you have 10 witnesses into a courtroom, for example, and 9 of them agree in the testimony and 1 disagrees, it's easy to see that the testimony of the 9 should be followed. They're witnesses, they saw what happened, and reject the 9th one. Now, that's exactly what you can do with the traditional text. If there are differences, small differences, you can easily see what the true reading should be. All right, the fuzzy fact number 211 out of 265. Kevin Bader wrote this, quote, "This comparative technique, properly called textual criticism, is the method that we have affirmed throughout this book." He's talking about one Bible-only book of Central Baptist Seminary. "This practice of examining all of the available manuscript evidence is the method that King James only controversialists call naturalism." End of quote, page 163. What's my answer to this fuzzy fact? Well, this is not what I call naturalism. They, Kevin Bader and his Westcott and Hort type of text worshippers, do not examine all the available manuscript evidence. That's the falsehood of his claim. They don't do it. They look at B and Aleph, that is, the manuscript, Vatican manuscript and Sinai manuscript, maybe 43 others that go along with them, and that's it. But wait a minute. They're not just 43 manuscripts that we have that have been preserved for us. They're over 5,210. And about 100 more have been found even after 1967, according to Kurt Allen's count at that point, 5,210. 5,255, actually, altogether, that he found in 1967. And they don't examine any part of the over 5,000 manuscripts. They take a look at B and Aleph and whatever they say. That's what Westcott and Hort did. They say B is the way to go, and if B and Aleph, Vatican Sinai, agree, that's perfectly the way to go. If Sinai disagrees, take B and some other manuscript that agrees with it, and that's the text. And they did not want to examine all the available manuscript evidence. There's a flood of evidence in favor of the traditional text. Over 5,210 manuscripts are of that variety. 99% plus of the evidence that has been preserved to this day is of the Textus Receptus type of evidence. And for them to examine all available evidence, manuscript evidence, and follow what the manuscripts say would throw out B and Aleph readings. It would throw them out because it would prove them to be wrong. But they've got to keep it in. They do not examine all the available evidence. Or if they examine them, they certainly don't accept what they say. They contradict the evidence by using B and Aleph, Vatican and Sinai, contradict the traditional text, which screams at them the other way. They do not accept the Textus Receptus, traditional Textus Receptus at all. It's naturalistic when apostates like Westcott and Hort are doing the investigation. When they say, as they do, that the Bible is no different than any other book, I differ with them completely. And they simply do not examine all the available evidence and take it into account. They say, well, B and Aleph are older, they're closer to the originals, therefore they've got to be right. No, they don't have to be right at all. Well, fuzzy fact number 212 out of 265, Kevin Bader wrote this, quote, "Second, many of the more recent translations are at least as literal, verbally and formally equivalent as the King James, end of quote. Page 163 of One Bible Only. What's my answer to this fuzzy fact? Well, the first thing about it is it's completely false. The recent translations, at least as literal and verbally and formally equivalent as the King James Bible, absolutely false. I've analyzed these so-called new versions, at least some of them. He talks about the American Bible Union Version, Young's Literal Translation, the English Revised Version, the American Standard Version of 1901, and the Revised Standard Version, and the New American Standard Version. Well, these Bibles are not as literal as, or more literal than, the King James Bible. I don't know how he can make this statement. I didn't analyze from Genesis to Revelation all of the versions he mentioned. I did analyze three of them. Well, actually, he didn't mention the New King James. He could have, to say that was as literal. He mentioned the American Standard Version. He didn't mention the New International Version, which he could have, but he did mention the New American Standard. He certainly never examined these books. I looked at the New American Standard Version every day. Better part of a year, I found over 4,000 plus examples of non-literal, what we call dynamic equivalents. There was adding to the words of God, subtracting from the words of God, and changing the words of God wherever necessary. Certainly this is false. The King James Bible is superior to all of these versions, and more literal and more exacting verbal equivalents and formal equivalents. Certainly you can't include the New American Standard in this. I've had a study of that one, and I don't know about the other ones. I haven't studied the details, but he's definitely wrong on the New American Standard Version. Well, fuzzy fact number 213 out of 265, Kevin Bottle wrote this, quote, "The translators of the King James Version aimed to produce a translation that would represent a balance between formal and dynamic equivalents," end of quote, page 164. What's my answer to this fuzzy fact? Well, that's a big laugh as far as I'm concerned. This is not what the King James Bible has done as a rule at all. The New International Version has made this as a rule. The King James Bible did not have as a methodology to balance literal interpretation and translation verbal equivalents with the dynamic equivalents at all. They strove for verbal equivalents, the words from Hebrew to English and from Greek to English. They also kept formal equivalents, the forms of the words. The King James translators, wherever possible, put nouns into nouns, Hebrew to English, Greek to English. Put verbs into verbs and so on, wherever possible, unless there's some idiom involved in it. And this is not to try to balance at all the New International Version's dynamic equivalents with formal equivalents and so on. Absolutely false. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he should be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Write us. Bible for Today, Collinswood, New Jersey. Call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defiant King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Don't forget to get your free and postpaid Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists on Bible Versions. 108 pages, $12 value. Call us, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long till next broadcast. Don't miss it. We'd like to hear from you. Give us a toll-free call right now, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Well, we're going to come back next broadcast. Hope to see you then and continue this examination of the fuzzy facts of the fundamentalists on Bible versions, answering this one Bible-only book, which is a horrendous book. Hope to see you then next broadcast, same time, same station. So long. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 794. 794 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society, in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on our question and answer phone, 856-854-4452, or email bft@bibleforttoday.org. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book called Defending the King James Bible, now in its eighth printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. Why not ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then have you ordered your Defined King James Bible, published for the Bible for Today? Uncommon words in the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe, genuine leather. It's a choice of 12-point large print, 10-point medium print. Over 45,000 are in print and distributed worldwide. Why don't you ask for a copy for yourself and your friends, the Defined King James Bible. Just simply call us. We'll tell you how to get it. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. And have you got your copy of the Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists on Bible Versions? 108 pages, free and postpaid, $12 value, $4 postage. We'd like to have you have it if you'd like it. Beautiful color, red and white. Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists on Bible Versions. These are facts that are proved to be fuzzy, yet they're believed by the quartet of fundamentalist institutions that are fundamental in other doctrines, but not in bibliology as far as the Bible is concerned. They're not fundamental in that particular area. I'm talking about Bob Jones University, Detroit Baptist Seminary, Calvary Baptist Seminary, and Central Baptist Seminary. This is the quartet, the strongest quartet. There's other schools the same way, but these are the ones that are battling against the Textus Receptus that underlies our King James Bible. They're battling against the Masoretic Hebrew text that underlies our King James Bible, and they're causing a storm. And this is somewhat of an answer. Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists. Call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9 and order your copy, free and postpaid. Well, we're back to Fuzzy Fact number 214 out of 265. Kevin Bowder wrote this, quote, "The modern version, whose philosophy of translation most closely resembles the King James, given the clear statement of the King James translators themselves, is probably the New International Version." End of quote. Page 164 from One Bible Only. Well, that's as laughable as I can think of, to say that the King James Bible and the representative today is the New International Version. It's a laughable thing. It's based on ignorance, I'm sure. 100% wrong. The philosophy of the New International Version is diametrically opposed to that of our King James Bible. How could Kevin Bowder, an intelligent person there at Central Baptist Seminary, the Minneapolis, Minnesota area, ever make such a ridiculous statement? This statement is false. The statement is foolish. The statement is absolutely, totally without a shred of evidence. The NIV did not want the words translated. They wanted the thoughts. They wanted to make a thought equivalence, not a verbal equivalence or a formal equivalence at all. The New International Version I found from going from Genesis to Revelation. Over 6,553 examples of dynamic equivalency, and I stopped counting. 6,000 plus dynamic equivalencies, adding to the words of God, subtracting the words of God, and changing. How could Kevin Bowder say that the modern version, whose philosophy most closely resembles the King James, is the NIV? How in the world? It's bad enough when they say it's the New American Standard Version, which I found over 4,000 examples of dynamic equivalency, adding, subtracting, and changing God's words. But to say the NIV, I don't agree, and to say the NIV is absolutely preposterous and ridiculous to say that. Well, Fuzzy Fact number 215 out of 265, Kevin Bowder wrote this, "But they are no longer entitled to insist." He's talking about those of us who stand for the King James Bible and the Hebrew and Greek texts that underlie it. He says, but they are no longer entitled to insist that the Ben Kayim is the only permissible Hebrew Old Testament, that the text of Septuagint is the only permissible Greek New Testament, or that the King James Version is the only acceptable representative of the Word of God in the English language. End of quote. Page 165 from One Bible Only. My answer to that fuzzy fact is, why aren't we entitled to insist on these? Why can't we insist that the Ben Kayim Hebrew text that underlies our King James Bible and the Greek text that underlies the King James Bible, the text of Receptus, is the only representative acceptable in the languages of the world, and that the King James Bible is the only representative in the English language, the proper representative of the Word of God? Kevin Bowder is demeaning the Hebrew and Greek texts that underlie our King James Bible. He's also demeaning the King James Bible itself by saying it's not the best. It's not the only acceptable representative of the Word of God in English. Now, if he says acceptable of the words of God in English, you see, that makes it false. If he's saying the only acceptable representative of the Word of God, translating, meaning not the words of God, and that's what he means by the Word of God, if he means only the thoughts of God, not the words, if he means only the concepts of God, not the words, if he means the ideas of the Word, of God, not the words, then he's got a whole bunch of acceptable representatives of the message of God, the thoughts of God, the ideas of God, or the concepts of God. But to say that it's not the only acceptable representative of the words of God in the English language, there we must draw the line. He's wrongly demeaning the Hebrew and Greek texts underlying our King James Bible. I believe, along with the Bible for Today and the Dean Burgon Society, that the Hebrew Masoretic text and the King James text of Receptus that underlies the King James Bible and the English King James Bible are the only ones to use because they are the best. Nothing is superior to them. And they are the only acceptable representatives of the Hebrew and Greek text, and the King James Bible is the only acceptable representative of the words of God translated into the English language. I will never say anything less. I've examined these other versions, or perversions, as the case may be. I've examined the New American Standard Version. I've examined word, verse by verse, word by word, the New International Version, the New King James Version. I've examined it and compared it with the Greek and Hebrew texts that underlie our King James Bible and the King James Bible itself, and found that it'd be wanting. Nothing is superior. If you're interested in the words of God, accurately translating the words of the Hebrew text and the words of the Greek text into English, you cannot supersede the King James Bible. That's a fact. Look at it for yourself. And there are none so blind as those who will not see. None so blind as those who will not see. Study the problem for yourself and see what truth brings you out at. Well, fuzzy fact number 216 out of 265, Kevin Bowder wrote this, quote, the facts of the case indicate that the use of the King James Version and its underlying Greek and Hebrew texts is a matter of preference, and the superiority of those documents is a question for academic discussion. End of quote, page 165 of One Bible Only. Well, what's my answer to the fuzzy fact here? It's not only a question for academic discussion. He's talking about discussion in the academies, in the colleges, in the seminaries. And he's implying that every blood-washed Christian that's saved shouldn't worry about it, shouldn't even think about it, shouldn't discuss it, shouldn't have a position on it. I disagree. Every blood-washed Christian saved by faith in Christ, every born-again person should know the issues, be able to talk about the superiority of the King James Bible and its underlying texts. Now, a matter of preference, well, it may be a matter of preference to use the King James Bible and its underlying Greek and Hebrew texts, but that preference is based upon truth. It's based upon facts. It's based upon evidence, as well as a mere preference. And there are doctrinal considerations here, that the doctrines of the false Hebrew text, the doctrines of the false Greek text, the doctrines of the false versions are in question, and they are false, and we cannot trust them. We cannot read from them, or their footnotes, or whatever they may be, in these new versions and perversions. I'm talking about the New International Version, the New American Standard Version. I'm talking about the footnote edition of the New King James Version, and so on. You cannot trust their theology. Why? Because they followed the theology of the Gnostics of Egypt. They're the ones, the Gnostics of Egypt, that perverted the traditional text. And those perversions are perversions, in 356 places at least, of doctrine. Dr. Jack Mormon has listed 356 passages of the false Westcott and Hort text, Nestle Island text, critical text, call it what you will, the United Bible Society's text. He's pointed out in a 100-page, large page book. It's available if you're interested in it. Call us or write us and ask how to obtain it. 356 doctrinal passages where the NIV and others that follow that false Greek text have erred in doctrine. This is serious indeed. Not simply a preference. It's a matter of theological conviction. And that's what I have about this matter. It's a conviction. Ever since 1971, when my eyes were opened to the facts pointing to the superiority of the Hebrew and Greek texts underlying the King James Bible and the superiority of the King James Bible itself. It's a conviction. And I remind you, my friends, it's not only a matter for academic discussion, the ivory tower discussion, the university discussion, the erudite discussion, the stuck-up egotistical discussion, the college discussion, the seminary discussion, such as Central Baptist Seminary, or Calvary Baptist Seminary, or Bob Jones University, or Calvary Baptist, or Detroit Baptist Seminary. It's not one only for those kind of people, but I differ with them completely. It's the subject for every Bible-believing, born-again Christian to get into the battle on, and to study up on, and to come out with a conviction on. Not simply an academic debate. Every saint of God should know where he stands or where he or she stands on this issue. Because there's nothing more important than what our Bible is. There's nothing more important to Bible-believing Christians as to what they're believing about the Bible. Which Bible? That's why Dr. David Otis Fuller came out with that title. His first book on this issue that he compiled various documents concerning and titled it, Which Bible? Which Bible? The question of what the Bible is the most important point on the Christian faith. If you take away the proper Bible, you take away some proper Bible doctrines. You do. We've pointed this out before many times on this broadcast, the doctrinal differences. You have in the text that underlies the Westcott and Hort text, that is, that underlies the New American Standard Version, the NIV, and the Revised Standard Version, the modern versions and perversions of our day. You have in one instance, in John chapter 7, the Lord Jesus being made out to be a liar. You have him taking away his deity as far as the incarnation in 1 Timothy 3:16. Well, they don't believe that God was manifest in the flesh in their translation. God was not manifest in the flesh, simply he appeared in a body or something of that nature. You have the gospel taken away in Romans 1:16. The same with the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. They wipe out the words of Christ. They simply say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. What gospel? What good news? It's the power of God unto salvation. In John 6:47, we've mentioned that many times before, the Lord Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Is it an offense to you to take out the words on me? He that believeth hath everlasting life. Believeth what? Believeth whom? And this is serious. We have a doctrinal battle on our hands that every Bible-believing Christian should be engaged in. And I would trust they would be engaged in the side that favors the Hebrew and Greek texts that underlie our King James Bible and that favors the King James Bible itself in order to come out orthodoxly with an orthodox position and not heterodox. You mark my words, the slippage of the Bible in Hebrew and Greek and the English King James Bible, the slippage from these schools, these so-called fundamentalist schools, and they are fundamental in other doctrines, there's going to be coming a time when some of us will no longer call them fundamentalists. We don't call them fundamentalists in the Bible issue, the bibliology. We believe that these schools, these fundamental schools, Bob Jones University, Detroit Baptist Seminary, Central Baptist Seminary, Calvary Baptist Seminary, and others that follow them, I maintain these schools are apostate in the bibliology beliefs that they have. Now, don't quote me wrong on this. I believe in that area of bibliology, these four schools, the quartet, the fundamentalist schools, are apostate and heretical in their view of bibliology, the doctrine of the Bible. Why do I say that? They're apostate and heretical because they have refused to accept the traditional Greek text of the New Testament. They refused to admit that Westcott and Hort, the founders of this false text in 1881, are apostates and heretical. They refused to believe that. In the third place, they're heretical because they refuse to believe that God even promised to preserve his words, Hebrew and Greek words. And of course, the fourth place, they deny that God has preserved his Hebrew and Greek words. If he didn't even promise it, then he hasn't done it. This, my friend, is apostasy in doctrine of the Bible, bibliology. To say that God has not preserved and promised even to preserve his Greek and Hebrew words, that's what the modernist liberals have taught for centuries. And that's what these fundamentalist schools are teaching as far as bibliology is concerned. Another thing that they deny, as the apostates deny, they deny Bible preservation. They deny the Bible preservation of the words of Scripture, Hebrew words, Greek words. I'm not talking about English words. I'm talking about the denial by these fundamentalist institutions of the preserved Hebrew words and Greek words. They don't say the words are preserved. They have some sort of a modernistic, apostate, heretical doctrine of Bible preservation. That apostate doctrine of Bible preservation on the part of these fundamentalist schools is simply to say the Bible is not preserved as to its words, Hebrew and Greek words, but only as to its message, as to its thoughts, as to its concepts, as to its ideas, but not its words. That's no Bible preservation whatsoever. They say God never promised to preserve the words, but only the message, the thoughts, the ideas, the concepts. So we have a battle on our hands, my friend, and I want every single blood-washed Christian that's listening to the broadcast today to get into this battle. Get your books, free and postpaid, First Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists and Bible Verses. That's a start. Read what we've been saying in answer to these fuzzy facts, all 265 of them. Then get other books. Ask us for our brochure number one. The Bible for Today has issued a brochure number one. We have over 1,000 documents, tapes, videos, pamphlets, books defending three things. defending the Masoretic Hebrew text that underlies the King James Bible, defending the Textus Receptus Greek text that underlies the King James Bible, and defending the King James Bible itself. Over 1,000 titles, free and postpaid. Just ask us for brochure number one. 1,000 titles defending what we're defending on this broadcast, and what our Dean Bergen Society is defending, and what our Bible for Today is defending as well. Well, fuzzy fact number 217 out of 265, Kevin Bader wrote this, quote, "If the issue at hand were clearly doctrinal, their stern rebukes would be justified." There, that is, the ones of us who stand for the Textus Receptus in the King James Bible. Their stern rebukes would be justified if it were clearly doctrinal. Kevin Bader says, however, as we have seen, the issue here is not the clear teachings of Scripture, but the unverifiable suppositions of human teachers. End of quote, page 165 of what one Bible only. What's my answer to this fuzzy fact? This is so wrong. It is clearly doctrinal, among other things. Doctrines are involved. It's true that words are involved. Spellings of words, position of words are involved. As I've said before, Dr. Jack Mormon has recently released this book whereby 8,000 plus differences between the critical text and the Textus Receptus are clearly shown. Here's the critical text reading in the Greek. Here's a translation in English. Here's the Textus Receptus Greek. Here's a translation in English. 8,000 plus differences. And many of them are doctrinal. And Dr. Jack Mormon, the same one who's done this superhuman research on coming at the 8,000, these are available, by the way, if you're interested in receiving that, the exact 8,000 differences between the critical text of Nestle Allen, 26th, 27th edition, versus the Textus Receptus of Dr. Scrivener, it's available. Call us, we'll tell you how to get it at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. Jack Mormon has also written a book, 100 Large Pages, where he shows 356 doctrinal passages that are different in Kevin Bader's heretical Gnostic Greek text of Nestle Island and Westcott and Hort and the United Bible Society. 356 doctrinal passages. And he says, if the issue at hand were clearly doctrinal, their stern rebukes would be justified. Well, Kevin Bader is saying our stern rebukes are justified because it is, among many other things, clearly doctrinal. 356 variations in between his Greek text and the Textus Receptus that are doctrinal in nature. As I said before, there are over 8,000 places where they differ as far as the Greek text, critical text versus Textus Receptus. But in the places where they do differ, 356 of the places involve clearly doctrinal error, doctrinal falsity, as far as the Westcott and Hort text is concerned, that he uses, that Kevin Bader and these other schools use in the Greek department. It's clearly doctrinal. In chapter 5 of my book, Defending the King James Bible, I hope you've ordered that for yourself. Call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9 and order it. Chapter 5, I have illustrated 158 of the 356 doctrinal passages where Kevin Bader's Greek text is in doctrinal error. It is clearly doctrinal. How many doctrines and errors do you have to have before it's a doctrinal issue? Well, one would be satisfactory to me, or two, or five, or 10, or 15, or 20, or 50, or 100, or 150, or 200, 356. It's time to wake up, my friend, and smell the coffee. As they say, wake up and be alive to see and to show that doctrines are definitely denied and changed and falsified in the false scriptures, the false Greek texts that underlie our modern perversions. And to have Kevin Bader deny that it's clearly doctrinal is ridiculous in my judgment. It is doctrinal. His favorite New American Standard Version also has these 356 doctrinal places. The same for the New International Version. It is a doctrinal issue, and we should remember that. Well, friends, in fact, number 218, I'll just get started on it, and then we'll pick it up next broadcast. But Kevin Bader wrote this. How exactly are we supposed to maintain warm and brotherly ties with people who continuously denounce us as apostates and hypocrites and who openly question our salvation? We continue to love our King James only friends and wish only the best for their ministries, but are we to be blamed if we suspect that the feeling is not mutual? End of quote. Page 166 of One Bible Only. My friend, I have never called Kevin Bowder or anyone who maintains the Texas Receptus, or rather the Westcott and Hort critical text position, I've never referred to them as apostates. I've never questioned their salvation. That's between them and the Lord. I have said that the position on bibliology is apostate, heretical, denying that God promised to preserve his words. I've said that. I've never called them apostates, and so on. I never openly questioned their salvation. This is what Kevin Bader is saying, which is absolutely false. It's a blatant lie. A blatant lie and falsehood and slander and libel. That's what it is. He's talking about the speaker. He's lapping me into the mix and calling King James only, which is predominantly the term that's used against Peter Ruckman and Dr. Ruckman and his followers. And he's tying me in with this mix, which I'm not any part of that mix of Ruckmanism. He's tying me in. They may have called some of these men apostates. They may have questioned some of their salvation. But in a footnote in this book, One Bible Only, Kevin Bader says that I, D.A. Waite, have called people such as he, apostates and heretics, and question their salvation. I rise to the point of personal privilege and deny this and blatantly say it's a lie. We're going to take this up next broadcast. Time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defiant King James Bible and this Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists on Bible Versions, free and postpaid. Ask for it or call us here at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long until next broadcast. Don't miss it. We'd like to hear from you. Why not give us a call, 1-800-JOHN-10-9, or email bft@bibleforday.org. Well, my friends, we're going to continue this. We're going to take this up right where we left off the next broadcast. Did I ever renounce the friends who were fundamentalist friends as apostates, heretics? Did I ever question their salvation? The answer is no. We're going to take this up. That's where we begin. But this is an important issue, my friends. What is the Bible? What can you trust? I maintain you can trust the King James Bible and its Hebrew and Greek text. We ought to stick to it, stand upon it. See you next broadcast, same time, same station. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, read each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, Director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 795. 795 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional Received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question and answer phone, 856-854-4483. 4452 or email bft@biblefortoday.org. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get a book we call Defending the King James Bible, now in its 8th printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. Why not ask your bookstore to get their Defending the King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then have you ordered your Defined King James Bible, published for the Bible for Today? Uncommon words in the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe genuine leather, a choice of 12-point large print or 10-point medium print. Over 45,000 are in print and distributed worldwide. Why not order yourself a copy and for your friends the Defined King James Bible? Call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then, if you ordered your free and postpaid copy of Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists on Bible Versions, it's a refutation of one Bible only. It's what we've been talking about in the broadcast these past months. It's yours free and postpaid, a $12 value, 108 pages, beautiful red and white cover. And you'll enjoy it, I'm sure, if you're interested in finding out these fuzzy facts from Fundamentalists. Now, these institutions that believe this, not just Central Baptist Seminary that wrote this book, One Bible Only, but the other three of the four quartet large institutions of the fundamentalist variety that hold the same views, namely Bob Jones University, Calvary Baptist Seminary, Detroit Baptist Seminary, in addition here to Central Baptist Seminary, that we're refuting as far as the book is concerned, One Bible Only. All right, fuzzy fact number 218. We began that last week just briefly. We're going to continue it and talk about a little bit more in detail. But Kevin Bowder, who's one of the professors there at Central Baptist Seminary, wrote this, quote, "How exactly are we supposed to maintain warm and brotherly ties with people who continuously denounce us as apostates and hypocrites and who openly question our salvation? We continue to love our King James only friends and wish only the best for their ministries, but are we to be blamed if we suspect that the feeling is not mutual?" End of quote, page 166. What's my answer to this fuzzy fact? Well, this is a blatant lie that Kevin Bowder wrote about me in a footnote at the end of the passage. I've never denounced, he mentions my name, D.A. Waite. I have never denounced born-again people as apostates. Now, maybe I have called some of them hypocrites, but never apostates. Let's just pause. Why do I consider some of these fundamentalist brethren hypocrites? I consider them hypocrites, for instance, those at Bob Jones University, hypocrites because, on the one hand, they pride themselves in using the King James Bible in the chapel messages that are given at Bob Jones. But in the Greek class, they teach a text that undermines the King James Bible's Greek text in 8,000 places. Now, this is hypocritical in my judgment. It's trying to put off to the donors, the ones that give tens of thousands of millions of dollars a year to the institution, trying to pawn off on them that they're King James Bible people because they use it in the chapel and they claim to use it in the classrooms. Although in time past, at least, I know people have told me they use other versions in the classrooms, not simply the King James Bible. But in the Greek class, there is no dispute that what they use, the critical text, call it the Westcott and Hort Greek text, call it the United Bible Society's text, call it the Nestle Allen text, call it what you will, they use a Greek text that undermines and destroys the King James Bible, as I say, in over 8,000 places. There are differences. Dr. Jack Mormon has written an excellent research study. Every single place, it may be a spelling change, it may be a word order change, there may be more serious changes, but over 8,000 differences. And one of the books that was written not too long ago is very appropriate at this point. Things that differ are not the same. And how can you call it other than hypocrisy to to undermine the text of the King James Bible in the Greek department and use the King James Bible in the chapel. That's hypocrisy. That's not straight dealing. And why don't they announce? Why doesn't Bob Jones University announce to the world, we don't like the text that underlies our King James Bible. We don't like this text for Sympas. And so we've used this Greek text that changes it in 8,000 places, the Greek text, and so on. No, this is hypocrisy. Now, how do you account, what should be done to avoid hypocrisy in the idea of the Greek text and the English Bible? Well, change one or the other. Make them equal. I graduated twice, Master of Theology and Doctor of Theology, from Dallas Theological Seminary, for example. Now, when I went to school, 1948 to 1953, for those two degrees, they were consistent in that they used the King James Bible in the classroom and the chapel, but I guess they were inconsistent in using a text that was Westcott and Hort as far as the Greek department was concerned. I guess they were inconsistent, but at least they used the King James Bible, but they pushed for the American Standard Version of 1901, so I guess they were trying to be consistent, but most of us used the King James Bible. Dr. Schaefer's theology, his 8-volume theology, came out with the King James Bible as the text. And so that was a little inconsistent, but now I guess they're consistent. They're consistent. They continue to use the critical text, the Westcott and Hort text, the Dallas Theological Seminary. And according to one of the representatives that we talked to several years back, came to our home, Mrs. Wade and I talked to this young man, asked him what do they use as far as the Bible on campus, and he says, oh, all of us use the New International Version. So there's consistency. There's not hypocrisy any longer at Dallas Seminary, as far as that's concerned. They're consistent. I don't agree with either the Greek text that they use or the English New International Version that they use, but they're consistent. So what should that, Bob Jones University and these other fundamentalist schools who do the same thing, what should they do? What should be done in Central Baptist Seminary, or if that's the case, or Calvary Baptist Seminary, if that's the case, or Detroit Baptist Seminary, if that's the case, as Bob Jones University? What should they do? Well, they should change, the best way to do it, so as not to be hypocritical, is to change the Greek text to the King James Bible's Greek text, the Textus Receptus. Teach it, use it in the Greek department, and use the King James Bible, continue to use it in the chapel and in the classrooms. That would be the consistent, non-hypocritical way that Bob Jones University should operate. Or, to be consistent and non-hypocritical, change the text used in chapel and the classrooms to something that supports the critical text that they use in the Greek classes. Use the New American Standard Version. Use the New International Version in the chapel and in the classes to prove and show to people the consistency and non-hypocrisy as far as the use is concerned of the English Bible versus the Greek New Testament. Well, so much for hypocrites. But I have never, never, never denounced born-again people as apostates. Bob Jones University teachers that use the critical text, I don't call them apostates. I differ with their Greek text. They may be false in their teaching, but I never have questioned their salvation. That's another thing I've never done. Never questioned their salvation at all. And salvation is one thing. Using the wrong Greek text and having an apostate position, a heretical position on the Bible, the bibliology, that's a different thing. The apostates themselves have denied the deity of Christ. They've denied the bodily resurrection of our Savior, the blood atonement, the second coming, the miracles of our Savior. All these things apostates deny. But the fundamentalist institutions that I've named do not deny any of these things. They stand with this broadcast on the deity of Christ, the bodily resurrection of our Savior, the blood atonement, the coming again of our Savior, heaven and hell, all these different doctrines. And so they are fundamentalists. They're not liberals and modernists and apostates and heretics. but they have, and I never have questioned their salvation. This is absolutely blatant libel and slander from Kevin Bowder of Central Baptist Seminary on page 166 in the One Bible Only. And as far as the fundamentalists, I do say some of the fundamentalist friends have adopted some apostate teaching and heretical doctrines, such as on this Bible issue. But I've never called them heretics or apostates. It's not the same thing. When fundamentalists deny that God ever promised to preserve his Hebrew and Greek words, that doctrine is apostate doctrine, because God has promised to preserve his Hebrew and Greek words. The Lord Jesus Christ has promised that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Greek words, New Testament, that he's the author of. Hebrew Old Testament words that he's the author of. I believe he's the author of both Hebrew and Greek words. It says, my words shall not pass away. Never pass away. And when you deny this, even if you're a fundamentalist in other doctrines, you deny the preservation of the words of Hebrew and Greek, that's an apostate heretical doctrine. The same teachings that the modernists and liberals have, these fundamentalists are agreeing with. And it's a tremendously different and wrong and erroneous teaching as far as bibliology is concerned, the doctrine of the Bible. That's an apostate doctrine. I believe it's serious, indeed. But I never, never, never call Bible-believing brothers in Christ apostates. Harry Emerson Fosdick? Yes. E. Stanley Jones? Yes. Bishop Oxenham? Yes. These are some apostates of the years gone by. And the Bishop Pike, James Pike, these are some of the apostate heretical people. Yes. We call apostates in doctrines apostates, but never my Bible-believing friends, nor do I question their salvation. Now, I don't know some of these men that are teachers at these institutions, and I'm assuming that they're saved people, or they wouldn't be hired by fundamentalist institutions. I've never questioned their salvation. I've never said they're unsaved. But cannot a person who is saved, born again, blood-washed, have an apostate doctrine and teaching on the Bible, for example? They may be fundamentalists in other things. I say, yes, they can, and I think that they have, and I think that they do, and that's what I say. Now, quote me correctly, my friends. Quote me correctly. When I say that the Bob Jones University, Detroit Baptist Seminary, Calvary Baptist Seminary, Detroit Baptist Seminary, Central Baptist Seminary, these four, the quartet of fundamentalist institutions, quote me right when I say that their doctrine on Bible preservation is an apostate doctrine, heretical doctrine, unbiblical doctrine, call it what you will, a false doctrine, false teaching. Because they do not believe in the Bible preservation of the words of Hebrew and Greek. They don't even believe God promised to preserve the Hebrew and Greek words. They have shifted the promise of God. Shame on them. They have shifted the promise of God from the promise to preserve his Hebrew and Greek words, changing the promise and dumbing down the promise and changing that into simply the preservation of God's message, the Hebrew and Greek message, but not the Hebrew and Greek words. They have diluted the promise of God to preserve his Hebrew and Greek words down to the simply the preservation of the Hebrew and Greek message or the Hebrew and Greek concepts or the Hebrew and Greek thoughts or the Hebrew and Greek ideas. Pick any one of those four things. That's false doctrine. That's apostasy. It's true that God has preserved his message, ideas, concepts, and thoughts, but he's also preserved the words. And you cannot knock out preservation of the Hebrew and Greek words, the promised to preserve those words and dilute them by saying merely the message, thoughts, ideas, and concepts. With the words comes the message. With the words comes the ideas. With the words comes the concept, the thoughts and the ideologies and the message. With the words come all these four things. But you must have Bible preservation of the Hebrew and Greek words, or you have an apostate bibliology, an apostate doctrine in that area. Let's go on to fuzzy fact number 219 out of 265. Kevin Bowder again, teacher at Central Baptist Seminary, in the book One Bible Only, wrote this, quote, "The first observation is that in spite of their claims," that is, those of us who stand for the Textus Receptus in the Masoretic Hebrew text and the King James Bible, he says, "in spite of their claims to honor and reverence the Scriptures, the King James Only advocates are really despising the Word of God." End of quote, page 166. What's my answer to this fuzzy fact? This is horrendously false. That's my answer. Not only are we not despising the Word of God, we honor it. We preach it. We defend it. That's why I'm taking the time to refute such errors, both on my radio broadcasts and in my books. That's why I take the time to argue against this slanderous book, One Bible Only, published by Central Baptist Seminary. In this book, they've misrepresented the words of God repeatedly rather than upholding them. And they say that our position is despising the Word of God. It is an absolute reversal of the truth. Reversal of the truth. Shame on Kevin Bowder for that accusation of our despising the Word of God. We have the words of God. Not simply the Word of God. By Word of God, he just means the message of God. The thoughts of God, the ideas of God, the concepts of God. That's what it means by word. The message. We take the words of God and believe them. And believe God promised to preserve them, and that he has preserved them. Well, fuzzy fact number 220 out of 265. Kevin Bowder again wrote this, quote, "First, they despise the Word of God by basing their peculiar doctrines upon a highly speculative system of suggestions and inferences rather than upon the clear statements of the Bible. Second, they despise the Word of God," talking about us, "by scorning many of the manuscripts and translations in which it has been preserved." End of quote, page 166. Now notice, he's talking about the preservation of the Word of God. Notice, he does not say the preservation of the words of God, the manuscripts preserving the words of God, but simply the Word of God, preserving the Word. Now, in time past, Word of God meant the words of God. Not so with these clever denials of Bible preservation of the words. They have shifted the argument. They have misinterpreted Word of God and not made it words of God. They have made it simply the message of God. And with a straight face, Kevin Bowder and others who hold this position can say that they believe in Bible preservation of the Word of God, meaning not the words of God, Hebrew and Greek words, but simply the message of God, the thoughts of God, the ideas of God, the concepts of God. And so they say we scorn the many manuscripts and translations in which it's been preserved. Now, manuscripts in which it has been preserved, he's talking about the manuscripts that he loves, the critical text that he loves, the New Testament, the Westcott and Hort text, the false United Bible Society text, the Nestle Allen text, in which he claims the Word of God has been preserved. My friend, he doesn't mean the words of God, because his manuscripts, the B and Aleph Vatican and Sinai critical text Greek manuscripts, are different from the words of God that have been preserved in the Textus Receptus in 8,000 places. 8,000 places. And yet this teacher of whatever he teaches there in Central Seminary, has the audacity, has the temerity to say that his manuscripts of B and Aleph and his Westcott and Hort false Greek text has preserved the Word of God. When 8,000 differences in the words of God between that critical text and the Textus Receptus underlying our King James Bible. If you don't believe there are 8,000, you get the tremendously scholarly book that's just come off our Bible for Today presses. 8,000 differences between the critical text and the Textus Receptus, written by that great scholar, Dr. Jack Moorman, missionary, London, England. And you will see what I mean. And then he says, we despise the Word of God by scorning the many translations in which it has been preserved. Again I say, the translation, what translations is he talking about that we scorn? Well, we're talking about the New King James Version. We scorn that. It's not been preserved. The words of God. Why, I found over 2,000 examples in the New King James Version where they have scorned the words of God. They may have the message of God, the ideas and the thoughts, but not the words. They've added words to the Hebrew or Greek. They've subtracted words from Hebrew or Greek. Or they've changed the words in some other way from Hebrew and Greek in the New King James Version. 2,000 times plus. Since when is that preserving the words of God? The same for the New American Standard Version, which Kevin Bowder loves, which the Bob Jones University bookstores sell, and they love the New American Standard Version. And their graduates, many of them, are using the New American Standard Version. Mount Calvary Baptist Church right there in Greenville, South Carolina, a member of the faculty of Bob Jones University, uses the New American Standard Version, wants his whole church to use it. And is that the way that God has preserved his word in the New American Standard Version translation? Oh, the Word of God, if you mean the message of God or the thoughts of God or the ideas of God, that's one thing. But I went from cover to cover the New American Standard Version, the old one, not this new brand, but the old one, the first one that came out, and I found over 4,000 examples of adding to the Hebrew Greek words, subtracting from the Hebrew Greek words, or changing the Hebrew Greek words in some other way. Now, that's not a preservation of the words of God. Maybe the word, according to his definition of word of God, meaning message, thoughts, ideas, and concepts. So I don't despise the preservation of the words of God in these New American Standard Version. 4,000 times I found, and this is available, if you're interested in seeing where those 4,000 are, write us or call us. We'll tell you how to get that study in the New American Standard Version or the New King James Version, either one. Call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We'll tell you how to get it. And then does he mean that we despise the Word of God, meaning the message of God, preserved in the translation called the New International Version? Again, I went from cover to cover on the NIV. 6,953 places, I think it is. Over 6,000 places where I found the New International Version, and I quit counting. They've despised the words of God and changed the Hebrew word, added to it, or Greek word, subtracted one of the words, or changed it in some other way. And that also is available if you're interested in that NIV, not preserving the words of God. Over 6,000 times and places where they, and I've stopped counting, there's over thousands more, because I didn't want to spend the whole amount of my time and my life searching the NIV in all of its places where it changes the words of God. So we don't scorn the translations in which the words of God have been preserved. The King James Bible preserves the words of God, Hebrew words and Greek words, but the NIV does not, and the New American Standard Version does not. The New King James Version does not. New English Version does not. Today's English Version do not. And so this is the battle. He claims we scorn the Word of God. Well, I don't scorn the manuscripts in which the Word of God has been preserved. I believe it's been preserved in over 99% of the manuscripts that we have. In 1967, we had 5,255 manuscripts preserved. There have been a few more added since then. But the words of God have been preserved in 5,210 of those manuscripts. The Vatican and Sinai and 43 other manuscripts have the false words of the heretical Gnostics of Egypt. No, I don't scorn the manuscripts which have the words of God. I scoff at the New American Standard Version because it's based on false Hebrew and false Greek texts. It's got inferior translators, inferior translation techniques, and inferior theology. The same is true for the New International Version for the same four reasons. But I don't scoff and despise the Word of God by scorning the manuscripts in which it's been preserved. The manuscripts in which the words of God, Hebrew and Greek words, have been preserved are the ones that we should follow, not Kevin Bowder's false Hebrew and false Greek texts and false translations. Well, fuzzy fact number 221 out of 265. I'll just touch on this and then we'll close. Kevin Bowder wrote this, quote, "They will not listen to God's voice when he speaks through an eclectic Greek text or a New American Standard Bible. Indeed, most of them will not even submit to the authority of the New King James Version," end of quote, page 166. We're going to take this up next broadcast, but time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defined King James Bible and this free and postpaid Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists and Bible Versions, $12 value, yours free and postpaid. Call us, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long till next broadcast. Don't miss it. We'd like to hear from you. Why not give us a toll-free call right now? 1-800-JOHN-10-9 or email bft@bibleforToday.org. Well, my friend, we're going to continue this next broadcast. This is an important topic that we're discussing, this one Bible only. It has shaken fundamentalist institutions and fundamentalist believers all over the world. Singapore is having trouble. I'm sure England is having trouble. The United States is having trouble because of the false teachings of this book. And we're trying to elucidate this. We'll continue next broadcast. See you then. Same time, same station. We now present the Bible for Today Daily, read each weekday at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 796. 796 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question and answer phone, 856-854-4452, or email bft@bibleforToday.org. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like to get you to get our book called Defending the King James Bible, now in its eighth printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. Why not ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then have you ordered your Defined King James Bible, published with the Bible for Today? Uncommon words in the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe genuine leather, choice of 12-point large print, 10-point medium print. Over 45,000 are in print and distributed worldwide. Why not order your copy for yourself and for your friends? The defined King James Bible. Call us at 1-800-CHON-10-9. We'll tell you how to get it. Then have you taken advantage of this free offer. Postage paid. $8 book, Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists on Bible Versions, $4 shipping, $12 value, beautiful white and red cover. This is what we've been talking about on the broadcast these past months. Yours for the asking, Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists on Bible Versions. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. All right, we're on Fuzzy Fact number 221. We're talking about Kevin Bowder's quotations at this point, teacher there at Central Baptist Seminary. He says this, quote, "They will not," they speaking of us who stand for the Textus Receptus of the King James Bible, "they will not listen to God's voice when he speaks through an eclectic Greek text or a New American Standard Bible. Indeed, most of them will not even submit to the authority of the New King James Version." End of quote. Page 166. What's my answer to this fuzzy fact? Well, why should I listen to an eclectic Greek text, which means selecting from various sources, and yet is woefully shortened and dwarfed? Eclectic means they take some from all the different sources. Now, they don't. It's not an eclectic Greek text. It's dwarfed, it's shortened. The people that get out the Westcott and Hort text, Nestle Allen text, United Bible Society text, call it what you will, they only look at manuscripts B and Aleph. Those are the two that are the main ones, Vatican and Sinai, and 43 other manuscripts. But they throw away over 99% of the evidence. Where is that eclectic? Where do you come off with less than 1% of the evidence calling it eclectic? That's dwarfed. That's just a very minor position and a very minor source for truth. That's why I scorn the so-called eclectic text, because it's not eclectic. It's not taken from all the manuscripts. It's taken, as I say, from one or two basic manuscripts, B and Aleph, Vatican and Sinai. And where Sinai differs with the Vatican B, they throw out the Sinai and pick another manuscript that agrees with B. It's basically one Greek manuscript that is the basis of the so-called critical text, eclectic text, critical text, Westcott and Hort text. That one manuscript is B, letter B, or the Vatican manuscript. And that's not eclectic. Now, the New American Standard Version limits God's voice. He says they don't want to listen to God's voice when he speaks to the New American Standard. The New American Standard Version limits God's voice by its 356 heretical doctrinal passages. I counted the NIV's false translation technique in over 4,000 different places. And my computer printout study shows these 400 different examples of this, and it's available. The New American Standard Version has failed in three ways. It either adds to God's words, subtracts from God's words, or changes God's words in some other way from the Hebrew and Greek text that it ought to use. And so, I can't go along with the New American Standard Version. Over 8,000 differences in their text than in the New Testament alone from the text that underlies our King James Bible. So it's not God's voice completely. It's God's voice that's been strained and taken away and altered in 8,000 places. It's God's voice that changes 356 doctrines. That's not God's voice. That's God's voice mixed with the devil's voice. And we can't go along with that. As far as this New American, a New King James Version, I can't stand that either. It may have fewer dynamic equivalencies than the New American Standard Version, half of them, instead of 4,000 additions, subtractions, and changes, simply 2,000. But I don't want to stand still for 2,000 changes from the Hebrew and Greek text, as they have done, as my study has shown. And this study in the New King James is available, as well as the New American Standard, as well as the New International Version. No, my friend, we don't stop listening to God's voice in the Hebrew text and the Greek text and the English King James Bible text. That is God's voice in English, and that's God's voice in Hebrew and in Greek that underlies our King James Bible. Well, fuzzy fact number 222 out of 265. Kevin Bowder, again, there at Central Baptist Seminary, wrote this, quoting the King James Bible translators to the reader. Quote, "We do not deny, nay, we affirm and avow, that the very meanest translation of the Bible in English, set forth by men of our Protestant profession, containeth the Word of God, nay, is the Word of God." End of quote. Page 166. From the book One Bible Only. What's my answer to this fuzzy fact? Well, the very meanest or lowest translation is the Word of God. What are they saying here? What are the translators of the King James Bible saying here? They're saying that the versions which preceded the King James Bible, such as the Greek Bible, the Bishop's Bible, the Tyndale Bible, the Geneva Bible, are the Word of God. But unlike the New American Standard Version, the New International Version, and others of today, each of these Bibles that preceded the King James Bible was based on the proper Greek text, the Textus Receptus, without the 356 doctrinal errors in his NASV or in the NIV. And that's why these men, the translators of our King James Bible, can say these are the Word of God. They would never say this of a false New American Standard Version, which is based on the wrong Greek text, nor would they say it of the New International Version, based on the wrong Greek text, wrong translation technique, and wrong theology. And so that's my answer to this statement there in the translators to the reader. Completely different animals as far as the Greek text on which these old-time Bibles were based. The Greek Bible, Bishop's Bible, Tyndale Bible, Geneva Bible, and so on, and the King James Bible, based on the proper Hebrew and Greek texts. Well, fuzzy fact number 223 out of 265, Kevin Bowder wrote this, quote, "A movement that rejects the Word of God as it has been preserved in any text or translation must base itself somewhere other than in Holy Writ." End of quote. Page 166 and 167. Now, let me just simply analyze this. A movement that rejects the Word of God. It doesn't say the words of God. He's talking about this Word of God, which he means to be message of God, thoughts of God, ideas of God, concepts of God, as it has been preserved. The Word of God hasn't been preserved in any text or translation. Again, he's saying that we should accept all 8,000 differences between his text, critical text, and our text, the Textus Receptus underlying our King James Bible. I'm not going to do that. And yet he says, if we reject the thing preserved in any text, no matter how false it is, as over 8,000 places his critical text is false in the New Testament alone. He says if we reject that false text, we're basing ourselves on something other than Holy Writ. Now, what does Holy Writ mean? Writ means from written. It means from writing. It means to write. And when you write words. And he is saying that we've got to accept all the false words of the Greek and Hebrew texts that are 8,000 differences between that text and the Textus Receptus underlying the King James Bible. I'm not going to do it. That's not holy writ. It's satanic writ in these 8,000 places, in my judgment. I will not accept Satan's words. It's not holy writ, it's unholy writ, where it differs, where these critical text differences differ from holy writ in the 8,000 places where they differ. I'm not going to accept the 356 false doctrines. That's satanic writ, those doctrines. That's not holy writ. I'm going to stand with the Textus Receptus New Testament Greek text underlying our King James Bible that has every one of these 356 doctrinal passages correct and orthodox. I'm going to reject the satanic writ, the unholy writ of the New International Version in these 356 places and the 8,000 differences. I'm going to reject the unholy writ, the satanic writ of the New American Standard Version in these 8,000 places and the 356 doctrinal errors. I'm not going to stand still for it. This is the answer. Now, Kevin Bauer thinks that any text or translation is fine. If we reject any text, such as Westcott and Hort, Nestle Island, or the United Bible Society's Greek text, or if we reject any version, like the New American Standard, the New International Version, Kevin Bauer says we are not basing ourselves on holy writ. This is false. Absolutely false. I base myself on the holy writ of the Textus Receptus Greek, New Testament, Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament, and on the King James Bible. That is holy writ. Hebrew writ, Greek writ, and English writ. Well, fuzzy fact number 224 out of 265, Kevin Bauer wrote this again. Quote, our second observation is that according to the New Testament understanding of heresy, divisiveness, and he's equating those two, heresy, divisiveness, the attitudes and actions of many leaders in the King James Only movement are genuinely heretical. End of quote. Page 167. Now, notice what he's doing here. He's saying many leaders of the King James Only movement. Now, he's talking about this speaker, I'm sure, although I don't like this term, King James Only movement, because it's identification with Dr. Peter Ruckman, for example. And he has views that I don't agree with at all. He has views, Dr. Ruckman does, that I believe are genuinely heretical. False, saying, for instance, that the King James Bible corrects the Greek and Hebrew from which it was taken. But to define heresy as divisiveness is false. And then he says many of the leaders are genuinely heretical. Now, he maintains falsely that I call him and other fundamentalist leaders heretics or apostates. I do not. And yet here, Kevin Bauer himself is using the term heresy and heretical and calling so-called leaders of the King James Only movement, in other words, people that stand for the King James Bible and the Textus Receptus, calling us genuinely heretical. Well, in the first place, he can do what he wants to do. I'm not heretical in any way, shape, or form. If you want to call the translation of the word heresy divisive, now that's not the meaning of heresy, hereticos, from the Greek word hereo. Hereo means to hold something. The scriptural term to hold a doctrine contrary to the Word of God. A doctrine contrary to the Word of God. That's heretical. And if people hold doctrines contrary to the Word of God, if they deny the deity of Christ, for example, if they deny the bodily resurrection of Christ, the blood atonement, heaven and hell, the miracles of our Savior, salvation by grace through faith, plus nothing and minus nothing, if they deny some of these cardinal truths of Scripture, cardinal doctrines, they are heretical. They are heretics. They are apostates. But to stand for the Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text and the Greek Textus Receptus underlying our King James Bible, and to stand for the King James Bible, calling us genuinely heretical? Kevin Bowder's got to be kidding. Kevin Bowder must be off his rocker if he's really meaning what he's saying here. Genuinely heretical. Now, the problem with Kevin Bowder is his false definition of heresy. He's taken the passage in the New Testament, a man that is an heretic, and changing it as the New International Version changes it from the King James Bible, and the New International Version, New American Standard Version, and other versions change the word, New King James Version, from heresy to simply a divisive person. My friends, divisiveness is not heresy. This is absolutely off the wall. It's ignorant of truth. It is ignorant of truth to say that heresy means divisiveness. You can be divisive and yet be just true as you want. If you want to say in the word divisive, Kevin Bowder is most divisive. I've been on these broadcasts these past weeks and months quoting place after place after place with Kevin Bowder's words in this book, One Bible Only, in which he divides the believers because of his divisiveness. He takes a different position than those of us who stand for a King James Bible. He certainly is divisive. And if he wants to call me divisive, fine. I'm divisive, I guess, in that sense, because I disagree with him. I disagree with the teachings of those who use the critical text. Yes. Divisive, yes. But the word heresy? Now, if I don't call him a heretic, why does he call me a heretic? And others that hold to our position as heretics. Oh, he says, well, heresy, I mean divisive. And so we're genuinely heretical. Well, let me just simply say, I've said it before, let me repeat, let me reiterate and sum up. First of all, Kevin Bowder mistranslates heretic, because he's relying upon modern versions. The Greek word is heretikos. It's from hereto. Hereto means to hold something. And usually it's a hold of false doctrine. The new versions translate it divisive or factious. Now, Kevin Bowder is every bit as divisive as I am, perhaps more so. Yet I don't call him genuinely heretical, as he's calling me. He is one of the general editors of this book, One Bible Only. He's the pioneer in the assault against our King James Bible, our Masoretic Hebrew text, our Textus Receptus Greek text. We are not heretics. Heretics are those who have false fundamental doctrines. A heretic does not believe in the bodily resurrection of Christ, as Bishop Westcott does not, or the virgin birth, or Jesus Christ's blood atonement. This is heresy. He's misusing that term completely, calling us who hold all of these doctrines genuinely heretical. Genuinely heretical. False meaning of the word, and it's a shame to have him slander us in this way, libel us in this way, written slander in this book, One Bible Only. Well, I hope his friends like it, and those who have made us their enemies. But I don't like it because it's false. Again, I don't say Kevin Botter or any Bible-believing Christian is a heretic, yet he calls us generally heretical. I do say Kevin Botter's view of the Bible is heretical, and that doctrine is heretical and apostate, saying that God never promised to preserve his Hebrew and Greek words. We've been over this before. His bibliology is heretical and apostate. The teachings and the belief on the Bible is heretical as far as and apostate, and the Bob Jones University has this same apostate doctrine. So does Detroit Baptist Seminary. So does Calvary Baptist Seminary. The big four, the quartet, apostate doctrine as far as the Bible, bibliology, is concerned, saying that God has never promised to preserve his words and so on. But I don't call these people that hold this apostate doctrine apostates or heretics. I just don't do it. They've got other fundamentalist doctrines that will pull them out of that term, apostate and heretic. I call them fundamentalists that have an apostate doctrine of the Bible and the preservation of the Bible's Hebrew and Greek words. Quote me right. Don't quote me wrong on this. Well, fuzzy fact number 225 out of 265. Kevin Botter wrote this, quote, "Biblically, the New Testament is very explicit about the way in which God's people are to respond to a person who displays such an attitude." He's talking about ones who are generally heretical. The Apostle Paul states quite clearly in Titus 3:10, "A man that is an heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject." End of quote, page 167. Do you see what Kevin Botter and his friends are going to do and are doing and have done? A person that displays this attitude, being divisive, factious, he calls that heresy, heretical, genuine heretical. And he says the scriptures are very clear, Titus 3, verse 10. And he says a man that is an heretic, and he quotes the King James here, even the spelling and everything, but he doesn't define properly what a heretic is. After the first and second admonition, reject. Now, genuine heretics and genuine apostates, as I've named them off in the broadcast, G. Bromley Oxenham of the Methodist Church, James A. Pike of the Episcopal Church, these are old-timers, E. Stanley Jones, and these other men, George Buttrick, these men are genuine apostates, and the scripture says after the first and second admonition, reject. But those of us who stand for the King James Bible and the Textus Receptus are not apostates. We're not heretics. We're not to be rejected, but according to the usage of Titus 3:10 and Kevin Botter's exegesis and hermeneutics and interpretation, we are to be rejected. Well, let me just comment further and simply say these men, Kevin Botter and his friends, have rejected us who stand for our King James Bible and the Greek and Hebrew texts that underlie it. He says that the New King James says, reject the divisive man after the first and second admonition. A divisive man. Do we have to stay shoulder to shoulder with error in order not to be called divisive? Am I become your enemy, says Paul, because I tell you the truth? Do we have to stand together and not part company with error in order not for Kevin Botter to consider us to be divisive? The New American Standard Version renders it this, and he quotes it, reject a factious man after a first and second warning. Factious man. Are we factious because we stand for truth against error and expose his errors and his doctrinal corruption as far as his bibliology is concerned and his denial of God's preservation of his Hebrew and Greek words? I'm not going to stand shoulder to shoulder with such a man. in his beliefs. And then he quotes the New International Version, warn a divisive person once and then warn him a second time. After that, have nothing to do with him. Divisive, factious, these are the words. Is he saying that they have warned us once or twice and they're going to have nothing to do with us? Is that Christian love? Of course, that's exactly what he's saying. They've rejected those of us who stand, as I said before, for the King James Bible, for its underlying Hebrew text, its underlying Greek text, and stand strong for these texts of Scripture. Because we stand strong for these texts, he's against us. He's opposed to us. He doesn't want to have anything to do with us. And this is a very serious situation indeed. Serious indeed, and false indeed. We're not going to stand with him and his beliefs. We oppose that. We're opposed to everything that is involved with heresy of doctrine of preservation of the words of Hebrew and the words of Greek. We believe God has preserved them because he promised to preserve them. And we're not factious. We're not divisive in the sense of heresy. We are divisive in the sense of differing from his opinion and the opinion of others like him in Central Baptist Seminary, Calvary Baptist Seminary, Detroit Baptist Seminary, and Bob Jones University. Time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he should be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Or call us on our order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defiant King James Bible. Get your free copy of Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists on Bible versions. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long till next broadcast. Don't miss it. We'd like to hear from you. Why don't you give us a toll-free call, 1-800-JOHN-10-9, or email bft@bibleforttoday.org. Well, we're going to continue next broadcast, and we hope you'll stay tuned. More fuzzy facts refuted on Bible versions. This is a terrible, terrible thing to have a fundamentalist ridiculing those of us who stand for a King James Bible, calling us genuinely heretical. Well, see you next broadcast. We'll answer some more. Same time, same station. Until then, so long.